Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hard Hits. I'm your host, Eric Felix, and over the next hour, got a little special late-night edition, Thursday into Friday. Derek Felix joining here, and we have a nice little edition going on, a little Thursday night into Friday night, a week before Thanksgiving. And big busy night, actually, in sports. Certainly, you got the college hoops now back in full swing. Nice to actually have college basketball back. St. John's, you know, three wins so far under Chris Mullin. They pull out one out against Rutgers. But start off with a little of big NBA game tonight between the Warriors and Clippers, the second one of the season between these two teams, and certainly a huge rivalry. And the Clips, they certainly had their opportunities tonight. They built up a 23-point lead, and looked like they were going to blow the Warriors out of the building. Warriors still, you know, going with that perfect record, 13-0, had a couple of close calls. And Chris Paul scored 18 in the first quarter, and they got off to a great start. They were making every shot. They shot over 70% in the first quarter. But when all said and done, again, Golden State prevails. Steph Curry, he did turn over the ball quite a lot tonight, but made some big shots over Griffin. Taking the ball to the rack, Green doing some damage, Harrison Barnes, and once again, the Warriors find a way to beat the Clippers 124-117 in just a really exciting game. But just very, very well played, of course, but certainly disappointing for the Clippers, who, you know, look like they were going to finally give the Warriors their first loss of the season. But it wasn't to be, as Chris Paul, despite a great performance from him, 35-8, and 27 from Griffin, who was okay. I mean, he could have been better. But they didn't get enough support for some of the other guys, and they wanted the Blues in 124-117. Steph Curry with 40 points, and just ridiculous sometimes. He did turn it over quite a bit, but Barnes and Green chipping in. Klay Thompson with 25, including a big three. And guess what? The Warriors are still undefeated. So we're going to start with that. I want to bring in my co-host. We'll talk a little bit about that first, and then we'll get into some other discussion for this night. All right, let's bring in John Gianorio, our co-host. Welcome to the program.
What's going on, D-Flex?
We watched a really, really exciting basketball game. So, you know, very exciting stuff, definitely.
Yeah,
what did you think of it?
I thought it was a good game. I would like to see the Clippers at full strength before I make any comments, though.
Ah, I see. So, you know, kind of like the Lightning were at full strength tonight, but they had no problem beating the Rangers 2-1 in a gut-wrenching loss.
Well,
the Rangers.
I mean, that's Bjorn, so I'm not.
Did you even watch highlights of that game, by the way? Or
I watched the whole game, man.
You watched the hockey game.
I wanted to know. It was a big game.
So you watched it?
No, I didn't watch it.
I know you didn't watch it. And this is the frustrating thing about you, all right? You know, I mean, you like to ride Bonquist pretty hard. He's the only reason that the Rangers have the record they do at this point. He's been unbelievable.
How is me riding him hard any different than you riding Kevin Love very hard?
I don't think we could compare Kevin Love to Eric Lundqvist, though. Kevin Love is a superstar player because Kevin Love's not a dominant player like Eric Lundqvist. He's not one of the top three NBA players or top five stars.
Lundqvist is one of the top three NHL players?
I would say so. Or he's going to be in that top five or top ten. Easy. I don't think we can say that about Kevin Love.
Well, let's put it this way. You give a lot of players a hard time. So I think you need to be prepared to take it.
All right. Look. I only caught the third period of this game. And from what I saw, this was one of those games that, maybe they probably deserved a better result in, but you can't win every game. They won 9 straight games. They weren't perfect by any stretch of those games. They got some great goaltending from Lundqvist in some of those games, and at times they were dominated territorially but with the beloved Corsi. But the bottom line is the Lightning capitalized on 2 Ranger mistakes tonight and did to the Rangers what the Rangers have been doing to other teams. So that's why the Lightning won the game. And they get a shorthanded goal with a minute 10 left from Filppula, a guy who hadn't scored 18 games. But that's what the Rangers have been doing. They've been able to cash in on their mistakes. But tonight the Lightning were able to do that to the Rangers, and kind of similar to the 7-game series that we saw back in late May. So that's where I stand with that. It happens. Yeah, I wish it didn't happen because I hate the Lightning, but what are you going to do? The winning streak had to run out at some point.
So they lost the Corsi?
The interesting thing is, I'm going to go to the War on Ice site. Right? The War on Ice keeps these possession stats for every game. So what you do is you go to waronice.com, this site, this beloved site, and you can actually see, you can actually look up, what the percentage is. And in this particular game, the Lightning did finish with a better Corsi rating, so they out-Corsied the Rangers, and maybe that's why they won the game, 2-46. I don't put a lot of emphasis in, the overall number. I try to watch the game as a whole and, look at it shift by shift and see what's going on. Both these teams, this was a tight defensive game. There was good goaltending on both sides. And they were able to bury one more shot off a mistake from two players that the Rangers count on a lot, Derek Stefan and McDonough, who they got a power play. They have a 5-on-4, a chance to take the lead, and they blew it. They made a stupid mishap of turnover like you would see in the NBA, and it resulted in a 2-1 for the Lightning, and they scored. And that was the end of the game. And that's how their winning streak ended. So if you have a power play with a minute left, 5-on-4, you should at least get to overtime. They should have at least got a point out of the game. But wasn't to be. So the Lightning, once again, coming out on top of the Rangers. And that's pretty much game, set, match. Not much more to say as far as that goes. You have anything to add there, Mr. Giridorio? I know this pleases you.
I like that you don't give any other players a pass. Everyone is held accountable for everything in the world of Derek Felix. But Bjorn can never be held accountable for anything.
Okay, well, all right. All right. If you want to say that Lundqvist gave up a goal he shouldn't have in Game 7 of the conference final, you would be right. It's not a goal
he gave
up
a lot of goals in that conference final, though. Didn't he have a game where he gave up, 7 goals or something?
Yeah, it was a very weird series. You had some games that were really low scoring, And you had some games that were high scoring where both goalies were giving up goals, both sides. The thing about the Lightning in that series, they have world class skill. And their world class skill was better than the Rangers' world class skill in that series. And that's why you saw more goals being given up by Lundqvist. They had the Tyler Johnson, who just forced them along with Kucherov and Palat. And those three guys were lethal, and along with Stamkos. So they have some of the best players. They have some of the best offensive talent in the league, actually, the Lightning.
But I get the feeling that this wouldn't have led to a similar pass for, say, LeBron James, for example.
Wait a second. I mean, you know, to be fair, I mean, I think we've done shows in the past where we've said that, you know what, LeBron basically tried to carry his team as far as he could last year after Irving went down, and he just ran out of steam, and so did the Cavs. So
I'm talking about the San Antonio series, to give one example.
How many times has he been beat by the Spurs? Was it twice or three times? He's beaten the Spurs
twice.
Once, and I think he's lost to them twice, right? Once with the Cavs,
yes.
And once with the Heat.
I guess the point is just, like, why does he get a hard time for losing, but Lundqvist kind of gets a pass, saying, oh, they wouldn't even be there if it wasn't for him?
They are different sports. They're different sports.
I
know you don't want to hear that.
No, it's the Derek Felix rule. If you like somebody, can do no wrong.
The goaltender is very important in hockey. That's true. That's true. And the Rangers, every playoffs, they have a tendency to not score as many goals and to play these tight checking games. And it seems like every series they play, no matter if it goes five games, like with the Penguins last year, or six or seven, like it went with the Caps and the Lightning, every game is nip and tuck. Just about every game is tight checking, low scoring, and that puts more of an emphasis on the goalie. From the goalie to make the big pass.
I guess what I'm wondering is can you name one player that you support who you've ever called out for losing something?
Well, sure. Oh, I can think of a player, Rick Nash. I've called him out.
You don't like Rick Nash.
I've actually changed my tune on him.
You don't like Rick Nash. Rick Nash does
not
count.
True. That's not true anymore, all right?
Name me a player that you support who you've ever called out for losing. Did you ever call out Josh Hamilton for losing those World Series?
A player that I supported that I called.
You called out for anything. For anything.
Sorry.
Marbury never won anything. You don't call him out for it.
Look, some of that was his own doing. I think we both agree there. I still think that.
Yeah, but you're awfully awfully harsh to players like Kevin Love.
He got railroaded. I think
you're awfully harsh to players like Kevin Love.
Well, okay. I'm very loyal to players, actually. That's the thing that you don't see a lot of.
I do see it, Derek. That's what made me realize you never say anything bad about the players that you like.
Like if my team goes far, right? Say it's.
But these aren't even guys on your team. Marbury doesn't play for your team. Josh Hamilton doesn't play for your team.
Marbury was one of my favorite players. So, I mean, to me.
Josh Hamilton doesn't play for your team.
Josh Hamilton, it's irrelevant. I don't know why we're discussing Josh Hamilton, but okay, we want to discuss Josh. Okay, let's do it. Above average in the regular season, below average in the playoffs. What do you want me to say? You want me to say anything that's different? Is there anything that's different about that? He hasn't really performed the way we expect.
I mean, I find it weird that you hold these players you don't like to such high standards. But you don't hold the players you do like to any standards at all.
So I kind of got on McDonough during last year's playoffs, but then it came out that he was hurt, that he played on a broken foot. So it's kind of tough. When you find out a player basically was playing on a broken foot, how could you criticize them after that? It makes you look like a fool. Guy playing with a broken foot. Well, of course he wasn't going to be as effective, and he struggled. He struggled in the playoffs. He struggled against the Lightning. That's the thing that's left out. When it comes to hockey players, they're warriors. They'll play for almost anything. Am I wrong about this?
You still think that Kevin Love should have played through his separated shoulder?
I didn't say that. I never said that.
You did say it. You did say it. You think it. You can. We're in a safe space.
No, you can't. But yeah, the basketball, you can't really play with a separated shoulder because.
Okay, so we're good on this at least now, right?
You can't play basketball with a separated shoulder. In most cases with shoulder separations, you're not going to be able to play. Are there some exceptions to the rule?
In basketball, in football, I would say there are zero exceptions.
Maybe in football and maybe in hockey, and that's a maybe, all right? Depending on the level of pain threshold, yeah. Every sport is different. It's about Curt Schilling. Everybody thought that was fake blood. It wasn't fake. He pitched one of the greatest touch games on basically one leg. There was nothing fake about that. It was there.
He was still capable of pitching. If his elbow was like destroyed and he was out there trying to pitch.
It's still one of his legs. Still needed. Push off and I don't know how he did it.
He borrowed some of David Ortiz's steroids.
That's a topic we haven't discussed. Ortiz is going into his final season, 2016. It's going to be the last season of Big Poppy. He's going to be retiring. I know you're very emotional about that.
Oh, I'm all torn up about it.
What are we going to do without Big Poppy to knock around? Who's going to be the target here?
How about Pablo Sandoval, a.k.a. the worst free agent signing in MLB history?
That's looking pretty bad right now. There's plenty of Red Sox fans that wish they could get rid of him.
Are you one of those Red Sox fans?
I'm not a Red Sox fan, but it's nice that you believe that. It's a very interesting concept on your part.
Just a supporter?
I'm looking at the MVP breakdown, actually. I decided
to
take a look at the MVP voting for AL and NL. And Bryce Harper became the youngest unanimous MVP winner to take all 30 first-place votes. Interesting. He did have the 42 home runs. He did hit .330. An excellent on base and OPS. Got all 30 votes. All 30 first place votes. The first thing that catches my eye is they actually agreed that Paul Goldschmidt should be in the top three. Paul Goldschmidt finished
runner-up.
Who are
the top three?
Yeah, you're going to like the top three, I think. Bryce Harper, 420 points. Paul Goldschmidt, 234. And Joey Votto of the Reds.
Nice.
So those are your top three. Now, after that, it's Anthony Rizzo.
Perfect. He deserved it.
Andrew McCutchen was fifth.
Okay.
139. And then Arrieta and Greinke were sixth and seventh, respectively.
Yeah, that works
and
for me.
Nolan Arenado, who plays for the Rockies, who had...
He finished above Chris Bryant? That's a joke.
Buster Posey, ninth. Oh, that's crazy. Clayton Kershaw finished ahead of Chris Bryant. Bryant was 11th. So you had three pitchers in the top 10.
I think all the pitchers probably had better seasons than Chris Bryant.
I guess. Jonas Cespedes was 13th.
Because he played, less than half the season in the league. Give me a break.
I'm surprised he didn't get more votes, actually.
He didn't deserve them, and he sucked in the postseason, which you say is so important.
Yeah, well, are we talking just about regular season? Are we talking about postseason?
Well, we weren't talking just about regular season with the managers, Derek.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. It seems to me they basically went with guys who have the wins above replacement category exclusively, and with OPS over overall value. I probably would have put McCutchen in the top three. I actually probably would have put Rizzo over Votto, Goldschmidt.
Wins above replacement does measure total value. That's exactly
just,
what it does.
Just because they played for better teams. I mean, I probably would have. My top three would have been Harper, Rizzo, McCutchen, or Harper, McCutchen, Rizzo. 1, 2, 3, and then you could put Goldschmidt, Votto, whatever order you want. That's how I would have voted.
But you spent all that time telling me that Goldschmidt deserved to finish ahead of Rizzo.
Oh,
I'm not disagreeing with you, but you did say that.
Goldschmidt had an excellent year. Goldschmidt is a superstar player. 33, 110, 21 stolen bases. He just plays on a very mediocre team. That's the only problem that I could see.
That's not really his fault, though. He's not the GM.
Yeah. True. MVP. Josh Donaldson, who celebrates a birthday with me. We share a birthday. He will turn 30 years old, actually, on December 8th. I will turn 39. Josh Donaldson got 23 of the 30, and Michael Trout got the other 7. So 385 to 304. And would you like to guess on who finished third?
Give me a hint.
A guy that I was pitching in this conversation, a guy that I like, finished third.
Lorenzo Cain?
Yes, Lorenzo Cain.
Who had a very high wins above replacement?
Yes. He was third with 225 points. And I'm just going to go with 4 for 5 because everything else was pretty much meaningless. Manny Machado, who had a monster season for the Orioles, finishes fourth. I had a big year, 35 home runs, 86 RBIs, 20 stolen bases. And Dallas Keuchel, there's that name again. The AL Cy Young Award winner was fifth. So that's your top five right there. So, among the notables, Chris Davis with his 47 home runs, 14th, not in the top 10. David Price, ninth place with Toronto and Detroit, I think.
Detroit? Your favorite team,
Adrian,
the Tigers.
Why did Adrian Beltre get seventh place? I can't really figure that out.
Rangers made the playoffs.
Nelson Cruz, sixth. Beltre missed some significant.
The leader of your Orioles. Your Mariners, sorry.
Jose Altuve, one of my favorite players, was 10th. Edwin Encarnacion, 12th. Miguel Cabrera, 11th. Yeah, I mean, it's just a who's who. Prince Fielder, 13th. You know what's sad? And he would have got some good. He might have gotten some votes. Mark Becerra got one total vote, one total point. Mark Becerra would have had votes, and of course A-Rod didn't get any votes except for one. Got as many votes as Ortiz and Hex and
A-Rod is hated.
It's always interesting to look at, you know, which guys actually get votes. Like what? Like Kevin Kiermaier, for example, right? He's a Gold Glove caliber outfielder.
Yeah.
Probably the best defensive outfielder right now. He finished with 10 points. How did he even get 10 points?
People think defense is valuable. He had a high wins above replacement, like Lorenzo
Cain. Okay. Well, I understand that, but like, I just don't understand why people just decide to vote for guys. I don't know. I think it's a waste to vote for a guy that's not going to be up for the award, but that's just me.
Don't they have to vote for, like, a top five or something? No.
I guess.
They don't just vote for the winner. Yeah,
I know.
A bunch of spots.
But, like, if you're putting down your ballot, wouldn't you want to put down who you think the best five guys are?
You could make an argument he was one of the best five guys.
Kevin Kiermaier.
Yeah.
I think you're out of your mind, but that's okay.
Why not?
Because I think there were five guys that are a lot better than him. It's just
you don't think
valuable.
There's any argument to be made that he was one of the best five guys?
From a defensive standpoint, certainly.
So if he's by far the best defensive outfielder, there's no possible way he could be an MVP candidate to you?
I think they would have had to have a better record for me to actually back that up. You know, if they had a better record, I might agree with you.
This team had an okay record.
I guess. Mookie Betts, for example, was 19th, tied for 19th with Chris Sale, a guy who continues to get disrespected, even though because he pitches for the White Sox.
Your White Sox.
Oh, yeah, my White Sox. What a fascinating.
I think you like teams with sock in the name. I don't know why.
I do. Like it's called
You like Schilling's
S-A-A,
Bloody Sock, too.
S-triple-A, triple H, triple X. Socks?
Socks.
Socks. Oh, man. I don't know what I'm going to do, man. Just can't believe that the Jaguars might actually win their division and make the playoffs, man. Because
Blaine Gabbert's a better quarterback than Andrew Luck.
They will hold on. They held on and beat the Titans in a very exciting Thursday night football game, man. And I was just really excited about that, man. It was a huge football game, 19-13, and they sacked Mariota on the last play. And now they're 4-6, man, and the Jaguars could win that division. Isn't it exciting, man? Great NFL.
I'm very excited about the Jaguars. They've already beaten Buffalo.
Of course you are. You think the Jaguars can what?
Jaguars already beat Buffalo.
Yeah,
it happened already, baby.
Buffalo. The reason they beat Buffalo was because Rob Davis was right.
Oh, Nijay?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nijay's not the best, it turns out.
Yeah, well, I wonder where Brian Sehart is. Now, I heard there's a new 30 for 30 coming out pretty soon. That's true.
Yeah.
What is that going to be about?
What is it going to be about? I have no clue.
You don't know? You really don't know?
No, I really don't know.
I'm going to have to look it up now. Because I think it's going to be about a very interesting topic, a dynamic. So,
Detective Holliday?
Check it out. Rob Davis told me something interesting. I don't know if it's true or not, but Rob Davis was saying something in the chat room before about what this could be about.
What could it be about? Why can't you just say it?
I have to actually go up to the chat log and see what the hell he said, because it's one of the funniest things I think he ever mentioned. Have you seen Lance Stevenson? Anybody seen Lance Stevenson?
He's last seen trash talking from the bench.
Why would you trash talk from the bench when you haven't played 1 minute or 1 second? What on earth?
That's who he is, man.
God, there was a lot of discussion about this Golden State game. This Golden State Clippers game got a lot of play.
It was a big game.
Why do you think the Clippers?
Too bad the Clippers didn't have Redick, because they didn't have Redick and they couldn't go small.
That's the only reason they lost. That's very interesting.
They didn't have the personnel to go small. If they'd had the personnel, they would have gone small and they would have been okay. They would have weathered the storm.
It couldn't be because Doc Rivers is such a great coach tactician there, giving the old man Paul Pierce the ball there. And in a situation where they needed to give it to Paul or Griffin, a great idea right there.
The game was lost when the Warriors went to the super small lineup and the Clippers kept DeAndre Jordan in. So what would you have done there? I mean, what should they have done?
Obviously, they should have. Let me see here. I'm actually going to look at this box score for a second now and study it. I'll tell you what I think they should have done.
Well, look at the play-by-play. Look at the play-by-play of what happened once they went to Draymond Green at center.
Maybe he should have played Lance Stevenson, maybe. I don't know.
Well, clearly keeping DeAndre Jordan out there was not the right decision.
Cole Aldridge is actually on their team also.
You can't play Cole Aldridge, obviously.
I didn't even know he was on their roster. I just happened to notice that. Cole Aldridge.
Detective Holliday is uncovering secrets.
Paul Pierce played 31 plus minutes, man.
Who do they have a better option than him at this point?
Yeah, man. I think Wesley Johnson could have played those minutes. Wesley Johnson made one more shot, including a three-pointer. Scored 7 points.
Doc the GM is the worst enemy of Doc the coach. I think that's obvious.
I don't think he's a great coach. I've told you this before.
He's not a great coach.
He should have gone small.
He should have gone small when the Warriors did, even though they didn't have Redick.
Let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He had an 8-man rotation tonight without Redick. And because he doesn't play Lance Stevenson. And 5 starters played over 30 minutes. Austin Rivers off the bench played 26 plus. And then you have Josh Smith, who played 18, and Wesley Johnson with 16 plus. Whereas the Warriors, like, all right, Bogut doesn't play plus. He plays like 20 minutes. He doesn't play all the time, you know, because he's not as athletic. Barnes, Green, Paré, Thompson, Iguodala all play 30 plus. And then, like, they could bring off the bench Festus Ezeli, fights Maurice Spates off the bench. They didn't really have much of a bench either. Well, that's right. They have Iguodala off the bench, though. Iguodala's better than anything that the Clippers had tonight, I think, off that bench. Although Rivers played solid. But if you could bring an Iguodala off the bench to your sixth guy, and Ezeli also, and Spates, it's pretty darn good. Yeah, that's pretty good, actually.
Me, they lost that game because they didn't go small.
They didn't go small.
They should have gone small, and they didn't.
They should have gone small. Well, I just think it comes down to the execution. And
no, I don't agree.
Sometimes their execution is just, in those kind of games, it's just terrible. Like, they just stop playing. You know, they stop forcing things. There's too much dribbling going on.
So you don't think there was any problem at all with the fact that the Warriors had no center on the court and the Clippers kept playing DeAndre Jordan?
I think DeAndre Jordan has to play well. What are you
supposed
to do?
He has to play in those positions? Who is he guarding?
You want to play Josh Smith instead? Maybe have Josh Smith play in the small lineup? He's athletic. He can guard maybe more.
Even Josh Smith would have been a better alternative. The best alternative would have been to play Redick. But they don't have him.
It's not like Josh Smith doesn't give you a shot blocker. Yeah, I mean, it does. You can do that.
I would have probably stuck like Wesley Johnson out there or something. And moved Pierce to the four and done that. That would have been better than what they did.
Terrible. They basically went with Paul, Jamal, Jordan, Pierce, and Griffin. They went with their five guys. Maybe they should have played Austin Rivers down the stretch. And he does add that defense and grit, something they could have used. But
well, you can't match the small lineup by playing DeAndre Jordan. That's just not the best idea.
So, I mean, maybe you play Rivers, you play an extra guard, or you play Josh Smith or Wesley. I mean, I don't know.
All three of those alternatives would have been better than what they ended up doing.
Well, it's basically like a pick your poison. But, I mean, in terms of the execution, it's not great. I mean, it's not great. I mean, we've seen it before. They had a big lead. They were on their home floor, and they just... Yeah, they did get toasted. They got toasted by Curry. On a lot of those plays, because of the mismatch, which is true, which you point out. You also had Clay Thompson actually make a actual contested shot where he didn't spot up, a step back three, that put the Warriors ahead for the first time since 3-2. That's a rarity. He actually had a good game for the Warriors, and yeah, Jermon Green is a matchup because. He's got the length, he's got good size, he can go inside, he can go outside, he also distributes the ball, and he can rebound. So he's kind of a
matchup. I'm telling you,
problem.
the Cavs have a lineup to match that.
That's if the Cavs and the Warriors, you know, make the finals again. You know, still
true. And if the Cavs all stay healthy, which is far from a guarantee.
Yeah, well, there's no guarantee. You know, there is no such thing as a guarantee. I just don't see how you have a 23-point lead. You look like you're going to run them out of the building. And then...
Because they're a great team, dude. They were up 23 because they shot 70% from the field.
You're right. They're never out of a game. But I don't see how they can't finish that game off. It's just mental at this point.
The lineup was a mistake. If he had taken DeAndre Jordan out, they would have won the game.
Okay, that's
you could you could feel it. You could feel it coming as soon as that happened.
All right. Well, they don't face the second half. You're gonna have to wait all the way till Saturday, February 20th. Yes. And
great. It'll be nice and cold and
Wednesday,
here.
March 23rd. The day before my father's birthday. That's when you'll have to wait till.
Happy JNF Day.
It will be a long wait for us. Too bad these teams don't play more often. But they do play four times in the regular season, and maybe this time they'll play in a big seven-game series in, say, the second round. Could be a potential. There's potential for that. So we'll have to.
I think the Clippers are going to be the three seed. I think it's going to be Golden State, San Antonio, and the Clippers, 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Very interesting. All right. So I'll talk a little bit about the talked a lot about the basketball, which was entertaining as usual. NFL two teams play, I will sit down and watch. But I like watching those two teams play. The games are fun, and it doesn't disappoint. It definitely does not disappoint. You know, the Clippers did have some good success forcing Curry into some turnovers, and they scored almost 30 points off turnovers. So that was the positive. They took advantage of turnovers. But sometimes when Curry is making his shot, it looks like he's playing a video game or an arcade game. With some of the shots that he's able to make. He's that tough guard. Points. Alright, discuss a little bit of the Rangers. Frustrated.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the Rangers.
To a team that they can't beat for some reason or another, and a team that was without five of their regulars, including Captain Callahan. And we've talked about MVP. We've talked about unanimous MVPs.
Why does the unanimous part irritate you so much?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, unanimous MVP. I'm just not.
What? He's the MVP whether it's unanimous or not, though. In like 2 years, no one's going to remember if he was unanimous.
I don't know. I mean, they didn't even give Donaldson all 30 votes.
Well, because Trout was just as good as him this year.
I guess. Bryce Harper got all 30
votes. No, I guess. Yes, he was.
Nah, Donaldson had a better year.
If he did, it was by very, very, very small.
Yeah, it was from very little. He was just much more consistent. Trout had an awesome finish to get his team in the playoffs. That's why he got the 7 first place votes. Not that you would admit that.
Oh, I know that MVP voters are biased idiots. Don't worry.
Ah, here we go. There is a new 30 for 30. Buffalo Bills are having a 30 for 30 feature, according to this. That's what they were talking about in the chat room. I still have not seen the Chasing Tyson, the Holyfield and Tyson one. That's something I have to sit down and watch. And the Bills, apparently, there's going to be a Bills 30 for 30 documentary, okay? This is not going to air until December 12th. So, you 4 days after my birthday, I get a little belated birthday present. I get to watch a 30 for 30 on the Bills. That'll be kind of interesting. All right. So this is going to be not just about that kick. It's going to be about those teams and about what they accomplished. And I just hope when it's presented, that they present the positive side of it too. What they accomplished is a pretty great accomplishment. You know, everybody likes to talk about, well, they lost 4 Super Bowls in a row, but how many teams can do that, can get to 4 straight championship games? Best in their conference.
Not many.
We thought maybe the Seahawks could do it, but they look like they're done.
Pete Carroll's a choker.
Pete Carroll is he's just a cut below, up beneath.
A cut below what?
Below zero, of course.
How many championships has he won now, college and pros combined?
Three? Yes.
So those don't count?
They count. I mean,
what do they count?
I will always look at Pistol Pete Carroll as a character for what he did in that third down call on that call against the Patriots. What a joke. Speaking of which, speaking of jokes, there go there go the Giants again, settling for a field goal, not being able to put away the Patriots last week. That's the Giants season, though. Do you know now, JPJ, the Giants have lost four games the exact same way, four games, where they led late and they choked. You know how crazy it is? That if you just took two of those games, right? If you took two of those, take the Saints game, or I'm not even going to give you the Pats game because they weren't supposed to be in the Pats game. Oh, the Saints game. They led the game by a touchdown, gave up a tying touchdown, and then punted, and the stupid punter fouled the returner, and they lost it with 30 seconds. That game, along with the Falcons game, pretty bad. Pretty bad. At worst, the Giants would be 7-3. And they have what? They have a very mediocre team. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, instead, they have a bye week, and the Eagles have very weak competition coming up in the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Detroit Lions. So I think the Eagles are probably going to be in first place by the time they get Giants are playing again. So I think, and the Eagles are not even that good, but they've got some favorable matchups. Oh, man.
Come on, Eagles.
Well, this Scott Norwood thing is pretty interesting.
You're loving this.
No, I'm not loving it. I'm just looking at, I'm reading something about it. And it sounds like it's going to be very interesting when it's presented. That's the only thing I'm going to say about it. So, it's interesting, nonetheless, okay? Very interesting. And since I'm a very interesting guy, I think I will link it
you
up.
You are.
To
there's
the
no arguing with that.
I will link it up to the chat room with my usual little face. Just to see if I can draw a reaction from JPG.
Oh, you're a nutsoose, man.
Well, I am. There's still 12 minutes left for Rob retirement.
Retirement Rob ain't calling in, man.
Maybe we should make some NFL picks. What do you think about that, sir?
Let's do it.
All right, what the hell? I mean, we don't have a lot of time, but I think we got enough time to make a few NFL picks. I'm just going to highlight some games, and we'll have at it for a quick 8 minutes here, all right? The biggest game of the weekend is Green Bay at Minnesota. The Packers have lost three straight games, and Green Bay fans are very frustrated. They are now saying that Aaron Rodgers' performance has sucked because of his girlfriend. Helps you love it, and his girlfriend's very upset about it, too. So, isn't that great? Yes, sir. That's awesome, isn't it? Green Bay needs this. They're actually now a wild card team. They are a wild card team. And Minnesota has won five straight games. Their team right now, the Packers have lost three in a row. Who do you like in this game, in this exciting matchup, riveting matchup between two Robins?
I'm taking the glorious Vikings.
Wow. Going with Peterson? I think it's going to be a Peterson kind of game.
I do.
All right. I'm not sure what to think about all this, about whether or not there is a jinx going on with Aaron Rodgers. With Olivia Munn. Olivia Munn, of course, the actress, model actress, who was very upset about this. She's actually very upset about this, but
she has.
I'm going to take the Packers in this one, just because I think that they have the better quarterback. I think that they are going to play with desperation. So I will go with the Pack in this game. It's a Sunday game in 4:25 too. One of those late games too. Another big game on the slate is, believe I'm saying this, but this is a big game. The Chicago Bears are hosting the Denver Broncos. If the Bears can win this game, they would get to 5-5 and be in play, possibly, for that second wild card.
And Jason Christopher's monster season continues.
Yes, Jason Christopher, give him credit, has played much better.
Are you giving Jason Christopher credit?
I am giving Jason Christopher credit. Langford had a very nice game last week. The Bears, if they can win this game, they would get to 5-5. Do you care to make a prediction? Can they beat the fading Broncos without Peyton Manning, with their backup quarterback, in Chicago at Soldier Field? Can they get to 5-5?
They're going to do it.
I think so, too. And I think the only way Denver wins this game is their defense forces some turnovers and the old Jason Bears' head. I'm going to go with the Bears. I actually like the way the Bears are playing. So let's hope that the new Jason holds on to
the Jason.
And that the Bears can win this football game. So we're going Bears. Not Bears. We're going Dicka. All right. There's actually a lot of good games on the slate this week, okay? Another big game, and this is actually a monster game. It is Carolina Panthers, Miami, putting up their perfect record. The perfect record, Miami, of 9-0, beaten with their defense and the Cam, with Mr. Danston himself. Just to show off, facing the Washington Redskins, who have been coming on lately on the strength of Kirk Cousins and an underrated offense. Yes, the Redskins, if they could win this game, would tie the Giants for first in the NFC East. So, and if they can do it, can they win? Can they win this game in Carolina? What do you think? What do you think on this one?
Carolina all the way.
I'm going to go Carolina also. I think that's going to be very tough for the Redskins. Carolina's defense, they force turnovers. They're tough on the run. This could be a tough one for the Redskins. I'm going to go Carolina also. They'd be 10-0 if they win. All right. We're actually agreeing on our picks. This is scary. Another game which has some playoff impact, is the Philadelphia Eagles home to face those Tampa Bay Bucks. With Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez as their quarterback. Sanchez came in last week for Bradford. Bradford's out for a couple weeks with concussion. The Eagles, everything points, though, to the Eagles in this game. I think they've got the better team. They are a good home team. Can you see an upset for Jameis Winston? Can the Bucs actually upset the Eagle fans and make Eagle fans grouchy for Thanksgiving?
Nope.
Neither can I. I really don't see that either. I said that I think the Eagles are going to be in first after Thanksgiving, which will put the pressure on the Giants, and I think that's going to happen. So I think they'll probably win that game. So I'm going to go with the Eagles in that one. That'd be pretty damn good for the rookie quarterback.
That's true.
Yeah, all right. Now, another game, believe it or not, this actually has impact Dallas. The Dallas Cowboys, who did not win one football game not one game with Matthew Brennan, even though he showed the heart, he showed the willingness to get them in position. But Matthew Brennan is now back on the bench, and Tony Romo. Romo, who basically said, did a major league line from Charlie Sheen, said, you know what, let's just go out and win the whole damn thing. And but the, for order for them to do that, JPG, they have to win this game at Miami. They don't win this game at Miami, I think they'd be pretty much toast. They'd fall to 2-8. That'd be 8 straight losses. Miami at home. Miami at home. Dolphins, meaning at home. They're not a great team, so, I mean, could be a tough game, actually. Could be. But if Dallas wins this game, right, the Dallas Cowboys would then play the Panthers on the special Thanksgiving Day game. And maybe they could actually get some momentum. I'm leaning towards Cowboys in this one. I'm going Cowboys.
Nice.
What about you, sir?
I'm going Cowboys, too.
All right. Is there going to be one game we disagree with? I found one. I found maybe two games we might disagree with, okay? First one involves the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts with Matt Hasselbeck now as the leader with Andrew Luck out are visiting the Atlanta Falcons. Colin Kaepernick's Falcons, who have been slumping, who have fallen back to earth, dropping two in a row, and I think have lost 3 out of the last 4, trying to hang in there for that wild card. Atlanta is not the easy place to go and win games. They've won 3 out of 4 at home. I think that's going to be a loss for the Colts.
I think it's
going to
be a victory for the Colts.
Okay, and why is that, sir? Why do you think the Colts are going to win this game?
They'll be much improved with their better quarterback starting.
Of course, of course. I mean, the logic just continues to prevail here on Hard Hits, on the late night version of Hard Hits. Okay, I'm gonna go with the Falcons. I don't even think it will be a close game. I think the Falcons are going to blow them out, actually. I think it will be like maybe something like 35-14 or maybe or something in that district, or it might be even higher. I think the Falcons are going to put up a lot of points. Just got a feeling about that. And which means that my Texans could be in position to be in first place. My Texans. So the Texans are hosting the Jets, actually. The Jets have fallen back to earth. Games and fans are starting to question whether or not their coaching staff, once again, is the reason why they fail. Some questionable play going in the Monday night game against the Bills last week, the big primetime game. Or was that the Thursday night game? But anyway, the Jets, this is not the right time to be playing the Texans, especially at Houston. They're starting to play better. That could be ugly. It's also Ryan Fitzpatrick or Fitzpatrick. And I think Fitzpatrick might show up against his former team. So I'm going to go with J.J. Watt, and I'm going to go with the Texans in what could be an ugly game with some turnovers. I'm going Texans over the Jets.
Yeah, I like that pick, too. I think the Fitzmagic is on out.
Yeah, I just think that's going to be ugly. And the Jets, they have to reestablish the run, and that might not be so easy against Houston. Houston's starting to play better. And they don't really have a quarterback. That's the scary part. We basically have run out of time, but we have a little overtime coming up. Now, if you missed the show, check the archive or check out other future shows. All right, we're going to do a little overtime, just a couple of NFL picks, and then we will call it a show. There are other games, believe it or not. There are other NFL games. And I know how exciting it is to you to be able to, you know, prognosticate all these games, right? Such a short amount of time. You have the Kansas City Chiefs. Remember them? Remember when the Chiefs were, like, just miserable and they looked like they were out of it? Well, they've won 3 games in a row. So they're actually trying to play themselves back into the playoff picture. They are 4-5 right now, 1-3 straight. Got it a little together. I'm still not sure what kind of team they are. But they are and have a chance to get to 500, okay? And the Broncos have been slumping. They've been fading because they've been relying on their defense. And let's face it, if the Broncos lose this week and the Chiefs win, they're right back in play. They are right back in play for that division. They'd still be two out, but they're right back in play. They visit San Diego. The San Diego Superchargers are not so super anymore. They're not super duper at all. They still have the gunslinger himself, Phil Rivers, a guy that can certainly put some points on the board. Their defense is okay. I mean, it's not great. The Chargers have been in a free fall though. They're just finding ways to lose games. I believe Rob Davis has guaranteed a Charger victory in this one. He feels an upset coming. How do you feel about this game? Can the Chiefs get themselves back in the mix?
I believe they will, and Brian will go crazy because his Super Bowl pick will be viable again.
Well, I'm kind of feeling a Chief resurgence right now. So I'm going to have to agree with you, which means that we're going against Robert Davis. This is a very disappointing thing for Robert Davis. He's going to find out about this soon. But I'm going to go with Chiefs here also. I think it will be close, though. I think this will actually be a tight game. Could be one of those games where whoever has the ball last wins it. I'm going to go Chiefs, though. I'm going to say they get a late score, maybe a field goal by 4 points. I think they will win. All right. Now, this is the last chance, okay? This is the last chance for the Seahawks, who look like they're finished. They look finished. They took the lead on Arizona last week with their defense getting the takeaways they needed, and then their defense melted. They melted against Carson Palmer, Craig's favorite quarterback. You have to say the Cards are a pretty good team. And they have a real good chance to maybe do something and maybe even come out of the NFC. Something right there. The Crazes Cards. Crazes Cards are alive. They put up offense. They've got some receivers. Fitzgerald still putting up the numbers. Carson Palmer spreading the ball out. That's the Crazes Cards, you know, have basically molted away that division. But the Seahawks, they host the 49ers. The 49ers are... they're not good, all right? They're terrible, okay? But they have inserted a new quarterback, and they're 1-0 since they put their backup quarterback in. And let's face it, the Seahawks, they own Kaepernick. They own him. Maybe with Blaine Gabbert or whatever his name is, what the hell, maybe the 49ers could put up a better game. Still, it's being played at Seattle. Seattle has not been playing well at home. They probably should have even a worse record. They had one cool goal their way where they won a game they shouldn't have. But I still think Seattle, if they had any kind of, you know, punch left, JPG, I'm going to say that they win this game. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Seahawks against the 49ers, who are just... they should be playing for, I don't know, tank. They should be tanking at this point. That's my pick. Still there? Did we lose to Gennaro? He must have just faded out. All right. Seahawks, they're going to have to probably win. They need to win six out of our last seven games probably to get to 10 wins. They're probably not going to get it done. You know, right now, I'd say they're on the outside looking in. Even if they win this game, it's going to be very tough. There's actually a couple other big games. We saved the best for last. The Bengals. Bengals finally coming off a loss, a disappointing loss to the Texans. Ugly game for Mr. for their quarterback there. And then friggin' J.J. Watt with just a cheap shot on Andrew Dalton. They're going up against Arizona, in Arizona, NBC game of the week. That has potential to be excellent. You got two quality teams. You've got Carson Palmer, You've got that offense, and you've got the Bengals, who will be angry, coming off a very disappointing loss. I would expect that to be pretty hotly contested. I think Cincinnati will play better. I know it's in the desert, but I think they'll play better. They'll respond. I think that will be an exciting game. There will be some physicality. Right now, you know, Arizona will probably be the favorite. I think that the Bengals have the better defense. They have the better defense. But I think they're both very good teams. I'm not sure on this one. This might be a pick'em. Might be a pick'em. Are you still there, Giudorio? I think we lost Giudorio. Oh, God. All right, so we lost Giudorio. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to Giudorio saying that the fault hung up on him. That's odd. Well, I'm still broadcasting here. I'm doing the show. Well, Arizona's got the better offense. I really want to pick Cincinnati to win this game. You know what? I'm just going to go and pick. I'll just roll the dice and I'll pick the Bengals. I'll pick them. I think maybe they'll come back and they'll play a physical game. And I'll pick the Bengals. What the hell? I'm going to go with the Bengals to actually give Arizona a third loss. So the final game, it's a game that the Buffalo contingent will not discuss. It's Buffalo Bills at the Patriots. And the Patriots' last loss came to the Bills last year in the final week of the season. But this is a good Bills team, especially with Tyrod Taylor at the helm. He's a dual threat. Very athletic, probably the fastest quarterback in the league. Yeah. And I would say, you know, of course, I would say that he just beats out. He's just beating out quarterback for Seattle, who I just can't think of right now. So, which is kind of sad. Russell Wilson, that's all I'm thinking of. You know, in Buffalo, you know, they fell behind by a lot and then made it very interesting. Made it very interesting down the stretch. Of course, they have guys out. They always have guys that are hurt. Going to New England, it's tough. You know, don't forget that the Patriots are without Wes Walker White. That could be a factor. Might make it a little easier, you know, in terms of how to defend them. And they have an impressive rookie running back that every week he scores touchdowns. He does every week he's scoring touchdowns, and that's something that you got to be real thrilled about. Carlos Williams, the guy I'm talking about, continues to score touchdowns. Tied a record, in fact, got the touchdowns in every game that he's played, and this kid out of Florida State continues to be very impressive. He's certainly a guy, certainly someone that we will we like. And don't forget about Shady McCoy, the dual threat. The Bills should be able to put up points in this game. I mean, the Giants put up points against the Patriots last week. Giants should have beaten them. We saw it again, and they just don't know how to finish games. Patriots are the best team in football. Well, that's true. Brady, again, having a peak season. They've got the talent there on offense, though. But it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, how they adjust their game plan or strategy. Something that will be interesting without Wes Walker White, as I like to call him. That's what I like to call Edelman. I like to call him Walker White because he's very similar. He's small. He makes big plays. He makes clutch catches, and he reminds me of Walker. He does. I mean, it's just I call him Walker Light, but he's a big play receiver for them. Amendola killed the Giants last week. He turned out to be the difference in that game. Gronkowski is Gronkowski, best tight end in football. Always just one play away from just killing you. And Brady's Brady. This team, you know, they have some good defensive players too. You saw it last week again. You saw that Malcolm Butler again with his getting his hand in on Beckham's what should have been a touchdown. Where Beckham should have had a touchdown. And because of this whole stupid thing with the catch and, oh, when you're in the end zone, you have to, like, make a move first. You know, it wasn't a touchdown, and it got reversed. It was the right call. You knew Brady was going to get them down there, and Duskowski was going to drill a long kick. He drilled it from 54. And I don't think the Bills are outmatched here. I really don't. They are classic in terms of coaching. Rex Ryan is not on the level of Belichick. He talks a good game, but he's not Belichick. Belichick always, like, comes up with great schemes, and that's what separates them. That's what separates them. You have to figure they're going to come up with something. Now, we'll be a little tough without their best receiver, certainly, who's probably not going to be back until January. But they find a way. Whether it's with Blunt running the football, maybe you'll see a little more of that with him and Bolden, or it's just scheming and like just with Amendola making big plays. They have also one of the best players defensively too that I haven't even discussed. Chandler Jones, that's the guy I'm thinking of. I just couldn't quite put the name together. Chandler Jones is a great pass rusher. Had a big strip and a fumble recovery last week on Eli when the Giants were driving right before the half, where they really looked like they were in control. And costly turnover there. Offensive line just did not block it off. And, you know, there you have it. You know, the Patriots, they do have some good corners. You could still get yards on them. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I'm trying to make a case here for the Bills to win this game because I still like what they have. I like Sammy Watkins. I like their two running backs. I think they have a huge edge there. If they could just spread out, you know, spread the ball out, use those two running backs, whether it's on the ground or in the air and using screens and just trying to get mismatches, with the defense and of course, Taylor can't make any mistakes. Maybe they can give them a game. It's Monday night. Of course, the Bills contention has basically written this game off. They'll lose because it's Bills and Patriots. I don't think this is the same Bills team. I think this Bills team has a chance. I give them a chance. Why not? I mean, they've proven that they could play with them. It is in New England, though. So, I mean, that said, we're going to probably go with the Patriots as far as who's going to win. Can it be close? I say it can. I don't see why it can't. They're without their number one guy, the number one receiver. I think it would be close. Maybe Deion Lewis gets a few more touches, or LaFell gets some more touches. You know, but why can't it be close? if it's close. You know, I don't know how much I trust Rex Ryan in a close game. We saw him almost give away that game to the Jets. I've had Jets fans just pulling their hair out. But I'm giving them a chance just because I think they'll be in the game. I think they can stay with them. I'm going to give them a chance. I don't know what the point spread on this game is. Sometimes I do check on spreads. Right now, they have the Patriots favorite by a touchdown. If I was a betting person, I actually would take the Bills. I'd take the Bills and go plus and take the Bills plus 7. The points over under is 48.5. That's probably about right for these two teams, actually. It's probably going to be right around there. So you could go either way. I'd probably go under, actually, on that. unless it's like the first game where it was a shootout of turnovers and stuff. But maybe something like 27-21. Maybe something in that area, I'm thinking. Or, well, no, maybe if the other side decides it. I'm going to take the Bills with the points. But I think the Pats will probably win the game. Very tough place to win. You know, they are undefeated. But this, if the Bills could somehow win this game, wow, that would be pretty cool. The Bills have a big, they're pointing to the following week because after this game, they've got the Chiefs. And then home for Houston, those are must games. But if they could, man, if they found a way to pull this off and beat the Pats and stun them, man, that would really, really set them up. They are the front runner for that wild card. They are in great position. They just, have to take care of business. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. We basically picked every game. I haven't done that in a long time, but every game has impact, actually. Every game has significance. The only game that I didn't actually look at was St. Louis and Baltimore. That's the only game that really right now isn't significant. The only thing is that Nick Foles has been benched. He's been benched by Jeff Fisher, so it's over already for Nick Foles. And Case Keenum is the new quarterback. That's crazy. They basically made this trade for Foles, thinking that he could be their guy, and have decided he's not. And it's kind of insanity, but that's football sometimes. And Nick Foles hasn't even been around that long, but Jeff Fisher has basically thrown in the towel on him, and Case Keenum era that's arrived. So I don't know what that says for Jeff Fisher, but Case Keenum is a undrafted quarterback. Tony Romo's undrafted too. Who knows? Maybe they catch lightning in the box. I don't know. Lightning in the bottle, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. They're at the Ravens from just. They just can't get any breaks. They lost last week on the on-time down. They lost on an on-time down to the Jags, which shouldn't have happened because basically the Jags weren't set at the line. They weren't set at the line, and it should have been a illegal formation, and that should have been a runoff. So that should have ended the game. Instead, the referees missed it, and they took a penalty. They took one of those sportsmanlike conduct penalties, and set up a Jags game-winning field, and guess what? The Jags won again tonight, and guess what? The Jags have four wins, and they're right back in the race in that just awful division. I mean, there's just too many divisions in football. I don't know why they have eight divisions. It's ridiculous. They don't need eight divisions. Go back to just go to three divisions. Go to six divisions and have three division winners and three wild cards. I think that's a lot better. A lot better than having four division winners. Because there's always going to be weak divisions where, a team with maybe a lesser record gets an automatic bid. I think that's just silly. I think that's really silly. Maybe one day when when Mr. Rob Retirement Davis comes out of retirement, he'll actually discuss this. Rob Retirement Davis suggests just getting rid of divisions altogether, just going with conferences, something that we'll never do. Well, back in the old days, baseball used to be like just American League, I think, and National League, and then they kind of like formed some divisions, and now you have, divisions just increase. I don't see the point of having eight divisions. I think that's just ludicrous. The NHL tried that for a little while. They had the six divisions, and that was kind of silly also. Now it's back to four divisions. They're big divisions, though, but, because you got the 30 teams. But I just don't see the point. I don't think that there should be four divisions. I don't think there should be four divisions conference. I don't think there should be eight divisions. I think it's ridiculous. As for this game, I don't know. I kind of feel sorry for Baltimore. I'm going to give Baltimore a win. I don't know. The Rams are a weird team. You know, if they won, they'd be 5-5. But I'm just going to go off the Ravens. I'm not even basing it off anything other than the fact maybe they'll actually, get a break, catch a break, and win a game for their fans. It's been a pretty tough year for them. All right, so these are the picks for this week, and I think it's a week 11 already, if you can believe that, a week where the Giants are off. You got the Dallas Cowboys over the Dolphins, over San Francisco Finns. Going off the Rams over the no, we're going with the Ravens over Rams. Texans all over the Jets, with Jets fans having headaches. Bears over Broncos, who I think are fading and fading fast. Going Panthers over the Redskins, and we're also going. I left this one game out. Detroit won another game. They beat the Packers last week. Oakland found a way to win this game. Derek Carr is a really good quarterback, and they got Amari Cooper, who's just probably going to win offensive rookie of the year. He's just awesome. Carl Slim should give him some competition. I'm going to go Oakland. Give me Oakland in that game. They need it, and Detroit finds ways to lose, and I think Oakland will, this game's a must for them. I think they'll have it. I'll take Oakland to beat the Lions in Detroit. I'm going Oakland there. Eagles over the Bucks at home. We're going Falcons over the Colts. I think they'll beat them pretty easy. Chiefs over the Chargers. Oh, crazy like the Chargers in this game. Going Packers over the Vikings. Aaron Rodgers' response and criticism. His girlfriend doesn't have to talk for a week. And I think because they need the game. They need the game. They don't get the game, they're in trouble. Seahawks for last guess against the 49ers. I think they'll win that game and they'll get to five wins. And then I'm going Bengals. And for no other reason than I think they've got character, and I think they'll bounce back against Arizona. It'll be a tough game. And I'm going Bills with the points, but I'm going Pats with the win. So you're our week 11 flex picks. We hope that it's a great football weekend. I hope it's a little better than this Jags-Titans game, which was an ugly game. But, I'm happy that the Jags won the game. That's great. I think that's very exciting that they were able to get the four wins. Yeah, they got a little bit of a gift last week with the NFL admitting they made a mistake. Good for them. It's good, to see that they're actually – they got four wins and something to get excited about, like Bortles, young quarterback, they got a sack on Mario on that final play, and that's great. T.J. Yeldon is their back right now, the ex-Bama back. He's, right now, he's hasn't been all that great. It's been great shakes, but certainly it's great. It's good to see that you got another team in there. That's and this is another reason why this is just a sad division, really. It really is. Tennessee had won this game; they'd have three wins, and the Jags would have three wins, and Indianapolis has four, and Houston has four. I mean, it's a bad division. It's a bad division all around. We saw it last week. Last year, actually, with the NFC South, seeing it to an extent with the NFC East, the NFC East. And we're seeing it with the AFC South this year, unfortunately. So, and this is why they have to go back to six divisions. And why, if you had just three division winners, I think they would be pretty clear-cut teams winning those divisions. And then you could have a battle royal for those last three wild cards. And I just think that's much better, that's a much better way to go. I think that's much better. I like the old system. I preferred it. Obviously, you're never gonna see, you know, the divisions the way they used to be, where you had just the AFC East and the AFC West and the NFC East and the NFC West. But I liked it a lot better. So I'm hopeful that maybe the NFL will actually come around and realize how silly these having these many divisions, this many divisions is. It's nuts. It really is nuts. So that is my opinion on it. Don't have to agree. Make sure you check out the archive. You want to check out the rest of the show or check it out from the beginning. We touched on a few topics, you know, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of, talked a lot about that Clemson Warriors game, which was a great game. And a little MVP discussion and some NFL stuff. So this was a complete show. College football, we're coming near the end of the season, and, you know, it's pretty much taking form. Alabama's going to be in there unless they foul off. I don't think they're going to foul off right now. They've been playing great football. They're going to be in there. Of course, right now you have Ohio State. They look like they're going to be in there. They got the big game, though, against Michigan State. Little big battle right there. They're hosting Michigan State this week, actually, this weekend. So that's a game to keep an eye on. And I've got some other big competition. Clemson, certainly. They're the number one team right now. Hosting Wake Forest. They're looking pretty good. Notre Dame right now is in the mix. Oklahoma State and Oklahoma are also teams that are making noise. As far as the Heisman race, Christian McCaffrey is trying to make a big push. Derrick Henry in the mix. The LSU running back Fournette has kind of cooled off and probably not going to win the award. Iowa is also a fifth-ranked team. So you got some interesting teams for that BCS right now. Right now it's Clemson, Bama, it's Ohio State, and Notre Dame. Iowa is 10-0 right now. Oklahoma State still 10-0. Those are the unbeatens that are trying to stay in there. And then you've got some of those one-loss teams to keep an eye on, including Oklahoma, various teams to keep an eye on, along with Florida. So those are your teams. Michigan State, if they could pull it off against Ohio State, they'd be right in the mix. So that's your college football picture. Iowa hosts Purdue. Northwestern at Wisconsin. There's always good college football games. LSU at Mississippi. Yeah, I know those two teams are out of it. LSU at Ole Miss will be good. That will definitely be good. You've got Fournette in there, and you've got my guy, and Rob's guy, Jack Kelly, a guy to watch. Very, very fun guy to watch. USC at Oregon will probably be an interesting game, probably very high score in Utah, at home against UCLA, so it's not all that great, though. Bama's hosting Charleston Southern. Well, that's a real tough game right there. Navy is ranked in the top 20. They're having a great year. Baylor at Oklahoma State. Baylor trying to ruin it there. Notre Dame hosting BC, a classic rivalry right there. TCU at Oklahoma. Stanford for California. Hoping Christian McCaffrey continues to make his push. I'd like to see him actually make that push for that award. The son of Ed McCaffrey, former Giant and former Bronco, guy who had a really good career, and I'm hopeful that he'll continue to make his push to the Heisman. That's a good race, actually. You know, there's a few guys in it. You got the Oklahoma quarterback also in that race as well. Lots of stuff that we covered on this show, so it was a fun show to do, and see you all next time. Check us out. Probably be on either tomorrow night or Saturday or maybe Saturday night into Sunday. Enjoy the sports weekend, and we will talk to you all next time. And next time we'll do a little more on the baseball winter stuff, see what's happening. There are some moves being made. Talk a little more about that and maybe some more of the college basketball as college basketball continues to pick up. So that is going to do it for this show. And we will see you all next time. Good night, everybody.
Ta-da!